with a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for a dollar. Because saving with deals is always on the menu with new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
So very excited to be joined by Monica, one of my best friends. We worked together for a long time at Nintendo. Monica is an expert in advertising, worked on the Nintendo advertising team for like 10 plus years. And we have been just chatting about the new Nintendo Switch 2 commercial featuring Paul Rudd, just kind of like off to the side. And I was like, you know what? Come on the show and like, actually, let's just have this conversation for everybody because it's so interesting. So yeah, thanks so much for hanging out today.
I love being here. It's girl time.
Girl time. I know we kicked Kit out. So Kit is in a line at GameStop trying to pre-order a Switch 2. So that's where he is.
But good luck to him.
I know. Good luck. May the odds be in his favor. But we are here to talk about this sort of, you know, new big commercial for Switch 2. Monica, you worked, you know, at Nintendo with me during the Switch 1 era and even before that. And we worked on many commercials for Switch 1. You have so much background on how this process works at Nintendo, but I think a lot of people have no clue what that is. So can you just like take us through kind of like what is the process at Nintendo when they're making a big, huge commercial like this? Like what actually goes into something like this?
Yeah. Oh gosh. What goes into it is a lot of secrecy. Number one.
Yeah.
I guarantee you there are very, very few people involved at the very beginning. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's all about trust. And I am not surprised to learn after the fact that Leo Burnett is the agency behind this launch work because they've got a multi-decade relationship, long history of trust and successful launches with Nintendo.
Yeah.
So very few people know in the very beginning. And I would say the very beginning, what does that look like? Is it 6 months in advance? Is it 9 months in advance? I guarantee you it's under 12 months.
Yeah, insane. For the timeline of making something this big.
Yeah,
like
the runway
small
is
timeline.
Mm-hmm, the runway is very short. Big plane, short runway.
Yeah.
So not a lot of people, and there's a lot of pressure to move fast and get it right.
Mm-hmm.
The process, you know, is getting hands-on experience with the product. The easiness here, though, is that this is Switch 2. This is not a new, newly branded, new word, new form factor product. So
right.
There's also a history of Leo Burnett working on an original Switch. So there's some comfort there. So they could move a little bit faster, but there's still the need for hands-on. What makes this product a little bit different? And so once the agency and Nintendo themselves, whoever's been brought into the small
circle of trust,
like learns about Switch 2 and whatever software is attached to it and any other features, then there are two briefs that get written. There's an internal Nintendo brief that's usually solely game focused, solely product focused, and is agnostic of an audience. And then the agency's task is to understand who the audience is that Nintendo wants to go after. And so they create a secondary brief with that audience in mind. And so that brief is written with the tone that that audience would react to positively towards that product, that that product feature and benefit that the audience would most find most appealing for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That brief is then in turn used for the agency to run off and create concepts to come back to Nintendo to evaluate. I wanted to just correct myself and not say something that your audience would already know. But like in Reggie's book, he has a very short moment in there where he talks about the arduous advertising process.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. Yeah.
It's so interesting. And it's multiple levels. It's extremely thorough. So whether the advertising team learned about Switch 2 or was tasked with the launch work for Switch 2 6 months or 9 months, they still had to go through this process. It's a very thorough process that goes up multiple ladders within Nintendo to get mm-hmm. the concepts reviewed, the concepts feedback and changed, and ultimately approved to go into production. And I'm sure it's just a sprint, a fast, fresh sprint towards the end.
Yeah, you've been through this process
hundreds,
maybe even in the five plus hundreds of times, working on every piece of advertisement for products that we've launched at Nintendo. And Nintendo is such a company that does things by committee, right? And it's always just like this, the chain of the approvals just seems to be endless. And you're in that cycle, that creative review cycle for, it can feel like years, even though it's months. It can be very challenging to do all of that in that short window that you said, and especially with a small team, because they're so terrified of leaks. They're so scared of, any of that, information getting out before they're ready to announce it. Like, it must have been just a real pressure cooker situation.
I couldn't imagine. And I think there's two other things that are also on the table here, is that there's additional pressure because this is a product launch. Right. This is not another piece of software like mid-life cycle and we've got
brand new hardware.
Brand new. Like, if you're not fast out the gate, if you stumble out the gate, it's hard to get your traction back. And the second thing too is when you're talking about one IP, whether that is like one piece of hardware, or, Pokemon, for example, right? Mm-hmm. You will have two teams assigned to those. But what if with a product launch, a huge hardware launch like this, you've got multiple IPs. We've got a Zelda team, we've got a Mario Kart team, and these are all separate people that are weighing in on this one body of work. So it's a hard, hard task to navigate through.
And the hardware team, because a lot of this ad featured a hardware feature, which is Game Chat, or like a system feature, I guess. So you have not only the IP teams, like you were saying, like the Zelda team, the Mario Kart team, but you have the Switch hardware team. Yep. And this is all the way through Japan as well. Even though this commercial is for the US audience featuring, a US actor, it is seen on a global level, and so everybody, including all of the executives and the bosses in Japan, are getting involved in this approval process and this production process as well, which can make it extremely tricky because you're dealing with like different cultural kind of relevancies. You got to explain to them why Paul Rudd is a good fit for this. You got to explain to them that why this sort of concept around nostalgia works. Like, I can't imagine the conversations they must have had.
These are Nintendo relationship maker and breaker times.
Yeah, for sure. And you're so right. It's really about this level of trust and comfort that took years, if not decades, for not only the internal Nintendo advertising team to build, but also the agency. You mentioned Leo Burnett is the agency that made this commercial for them to build. Like, that's not something that happens just overnight. It's taken them like quite literally like 20 years to get to that level where they can propose a creative idea like this and actually get it approved and actually get it created into the ad, the 30-second ad that we see today.
Because this is, as I think maybe to your audience, this does seem very tame. But this is... for me personally, I was shocked when I first saw it. I was like, what is this? This is a huge departure from traditional Nintendo advertising, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're completely spot on with that, because when we worked on Switch 1 stuff, the Switch 1, that first sort of introductory video for Switch 1 that everyone still kind of talks about as like, wow, what a moment that was, to really explain to us the system in that way with all those lifestyle kind of scenes. Like, that was sort of the Nintendo style when it came to advertising. Very sort of realistic lifestyle, like mom and dad and the family playing Mario Kart together. Like, we used to make fun of the sort of the family friendly, like, safeness of Nintendo ads all the time. It's like, well, what's the ad concept for this product? You're like, well, mom, dad, and Timmy and Sarah are playing Switch in the living room. It's like,
check,
check, check, right? And so for them to sort of do something really different and really like kind of do this nostalgia angle, and also to include a celebrity as like the key kind of spokesperson, or like the sort of the star of the commercial, is very un-Nintendo in a way.
Un-Nintendo, because celebrities pop up mid-life cycle.
Right.
If you want to go back in time, we saw celebrity with Nintendo DS, with America Ferrera and Carrie Underwood and Liv Tyler. Again, mid-cycle, they were deliberately trying to expand the handheld device audience, right?
Right.
You use celebrity in order to get that attention. Same with Switch as well. When we started pulling in celebrity for like Brie Larson, right? Mm-hmm. Or Serena Williams. Again, it was 4 years into the Switch life cycle. Again, deliberate to expand that audience, right? Get more females into the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
To see a celebrity for launch work, mind blown.
Different. Yeah, really different. So how do you think an idea, since it is so different from traditional Nintendo advertising work, how do you think an idea like this even got sort of introduced? And we talked a little bit about the really just like insane approval ladder. Obviously, you got to get people like on board, right? As you're taking this concept and walking it through all the layers of approvals, you're doing a lot of work to convince people why this is a good idea.
Yeah.
But how do you think this even happened?
You know, this is my speculation, right? So what I know about Nintendo, what you know about Nintendo, is they're very deliberate and intentional at every single step, right? It was surprising that this is Switch 2, not a new name, right? Personally, I think that when you call something the successor, number two, right? I think it opens the door for you to look back in time, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're not trying to create a new experience. It sounds like it's almost like a upgrader focus.
Right.
It's almost like a, how can we get lapsed audience back into our Nintendo ecosystem?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
yeah,
my guess is that once it was decided that it was Switch 2, I think that opened the doors for a wider marketing approach.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that once you think about like, okay, if we're talking about not a new product, but the second version of a very popular product, like how do we then make it successful? And Nintendo has always been focused on gamers first with any product launch, right? What this one to me is a little bit different, because it doesn't seem to be young male gamers, but older gamers.
And I got the same sense too, like because of the nostalgia angle, and they were referencing an SNES commercial from 30 plus years ago.
Yeah. But also the software lineup.
Yeah, very true. It's also very much like sort of very traditional Nintendo. You know, they have some third parties that are bringing some new stuff, but
So the two things that I think of are, it's different from what we've seen before. It doesn't seem to be focused on bringing in new young gamers and then capitalizing on kids and parents, like the traditional like audiences, right? So like, why is that? I asked myself, why is that different? And the environment for Nintendo is different right now. I mean, it seems that Nintendo is using theme parks, movies, they're opening
brick and mortar.
Like, I feel like those levers are continually delivering a younger audience into their ecosystem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then where can they, what's the lowest hanging fruit then? I would turn and look at lapsed gamers too. And I think that, again, if you have a Switch 2, if your audience is older gamers, like, it does seem like opportunity is there to do a throwback
yeah.
commercial.
This episode is brought to you by Booking.com. Every time I use Booking.com to find a place to stay in the U.S., I know they'll have exactly what I'm looking for. Booking.com has a wide array of options from hotels to vacation rentals, so you can pick a ridiculously right place for you. Because let's face it, we all have different travel needs. Maybe you're a parent of science-obsessed kids. You can find a hotel that's right next to all the best museums and has a balcony where you can stand at night to look at the stars. Maybe you're a group of girlfriends who are determined to have a memorable beach trip, rain or shine. You can book a vacation rental that's walking distance from the beach and has a sauna in case it rains. No matter what you're looking for, Booking.com helps you find the stay that's ridiculously right for you. Find exactly what you're looking for on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
How does PwC take your company to the leading edge? We bring the sharpest minds in tech to your team, so you can bring the ideas that will transform your business. We are passionate about your industry, so you can walk into any room with every advantage. We're with you every step of the way, so you can know you're headed in the right direction. At PwC, we build for what's next, so you can get there now. Let's get started at pwc.com/us/leading-edge.
I will say my time at Nintendo, many creative reviews included like a recreation of an old commercial.
We worked in the Smash campaign together. Do you not remember all those conversations we had about potentially recreating the Smash commercial?
Yeah.
Which I thought would be great, but we didn't do that.
Yeah. And we had the same conversations about Pokemon and Zelda, like across the board, it would come up year after year, right? Mm-hmm. And every single time it got shot down.
Yeah.
And it's, again, this is maybe the second thing that shocked me is, okay, so somehow the new marketing team has cracked this ability to recreate something from the past. And it really showed me like, hey, there's a new marketing team. There's new leadership. There's new thinking. This is fresh and like different. And it was shocking at first, you know, but as I think more about who's in place now, who's leading the charge, how Nintendo is structured in terms of like experiences, it makes sense to me why they're recreating 1991 commercial using the same. I mean, Paul Rudd is beloved, right? You can't go wrong with him, you know.
Right. He has mass audience appeal for sure. Like he's well known and he has that like cachet. Yeah,
absolutely. So it just makes sense. Like Nintendo's covering off audience, new expanded audiences in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And lowest hanging fruit just seems to be like, just pull people who have loved NES 30 years ago, 20 years ago, back into the family with this product.
And I guess if you're trying to move people that already have a Switch 1, you don't really have to like educate them as much because they already know the general idea of how a Switch functions and they don't need that education that we were doing when we launched Switch 1. We had to do a lot of education around this idea of like home console you can take on the go. Like that was a new concept at the time.
Yeah.
Now that's really not anymore. You're just saying like this is a more powerful version of the thing that you've already had and loved for 8 years. So they're probably taking, you know, that education piece is taking a bit of a back seat to this sort of nostalgia angle for this ad. Do you think that this is mass audience? Because, you know, these kinds of advertisements are like so expensive to produce. You need to make sure it appeals to like the broadest audience possible. Yes, Nintendo's absolutely targeting like current Switch owners and maybe even like the more, you know, retro gamer or the nostalgic gamer, but you're still putting this commercial in like pretty broad places where like someone that is not a hardcore Nintendo fan is going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like this has that kind of appeal, or do you think people that don't really have, they might know of Nintendo, but not know, like all the stuff, will they see this ad and be like, what the heck is going on? Why is Paul Rudd wearing a trench coat?
Yes, they're definitely going to think that. And there's two things. There's one thing that's kind of obvious and other thing that is just me pure speculation. I think the obvious thing is, using celebrity Paul Rudd, it it's eye catching. It's also like, you know this, Krista, it's real easy to sell and press. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Paul Rudd in a Nintendo commercial.
Yeah.
And like, there's so many articles that can be easily written, and everybody would like chomp at the bit in order to interview Paul.
They did. Yeah.
I would love to interview Paul. Tell me how your Nintendo experience was.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that there is a mass audience element there, right? It may not be obvious in this first commercial, but I think the press element is definitely a hook in order, probably used to sell this idea in.
Yeah. Like, you have so many, we have so many different angles. We don't just have a 30-second ad. We have a press angle. We have whatever else that we can do with Paul Rudd.
But this first commercial feels purely like, if it was on its own, if it was just solo, I don't think it would have been approved, right? I think there's a huge plan in place, including this press element, right? So one thing about celebrity negotiations, contracts, is doing a one and done sort of thing is almost not worth your time.
Yeah, it's too hard and too expensive.
So expensive, right? So I have seen in the past what happens. We saw it with Brie Larson. We had her sister with Animal Crossing. Serena Williams, when she was playing, had her personal trainer with her. We've seen so many friends and family members come into the picture with commercials. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if this was sold in as, hey, we're using Paul Rudd in the very beginning. It's going to be him. It's going to be a recreation of this 1991 SNES commercial. But we've got these options with him to use him over time as we introduce new software and we make it more traditional Switch, right? We see Paul as, you know, and his
Uncle
wife
Paul.
And kids. Yeah. Uncle Paul, right? So I think there might be more in the future that we're going to see of Paul Rudd that's going to be more traditional.
Yeah, yeah. You can kind of already see it in the ad itself now, because they have a comedian, I guess, from Brooklyn Nine-Nine also in that commercial. And I don't watch that show, so I wasn't able to pick him out right away, but I guess he's like a famous, pretty famous comedian. And then he already is taking on sort of that like Uncle Paul role with the little girl that's in the commercial as well. So I can totally see what you're saying. Like, this might have way longer legs than just the commercial, the recreation of the, you know, 91 SNES commercial that we're watching now. Like, if they're going to be using a celebrity and going through all that work of doing these long contracts and shelling out a lot of money to pay for a celebrity like Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Millions.
Many millions. They definitely will want to get like the most out of him. Mm-hmm. I think I like Paul Rudd as the face for this as well. I think he's very sort of, you know, he's everybody likes Paul Rudd. Everybody, there's no like, I feel like nobody is like, I hate this guy, you know?
Yeah, I've yet to meet that person.
Yes. And if it feels realistic. Does it feel realistic to you? That does he feel like he has a genuine, like, sort of connection to Nintendo? I kind of feel like it. Like, he seems authentically like, yeah, I like Nintendo. I like video games. I was in this SNES commercial in 91.
There's not a bone in my body that doesn't believe that he's not enjoying himself. I think he's like, this feels like a regular day in my life. It just happened to now be paid for it. Like, lucky him.
Yeah. So that's good. Nintendo did good in terms of picking the right person that feels authentic, has this very sweet connection with the nostalgia angle. So if he does become sort of like the long-term Switch 2 spokesperson, I feel like people would be okay with that.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I don't feel like there would be like some sort of like, ill, why is he here again? You know, so that's good at least.
Yeah. Yeah. The only question that comes up for me is like, you know, is Paul, I have no idea how global is Paul Rudd? Is Paul Rudd like useful and relevant in Japan? Is Japan picking up
Marvel?
Their advertising?
Do they watch Ant-Man? I don't know.
Yeah. Is Europe, is NOE like using this? Mm-hmm. That's the one thing I don't know. Is because a lot of times like celebrity is, you know,
like localized towards. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess Marvel is pretty global, but you're totally right. Like, I wonder if Europe will have their own spokesperson that's a celebrity, or Japan might have. Japan just sometimes works with their own you know, like the comedians that do all their gameplay videos. Those are like Japanese celebrities. So
yeah,
who knows? But yeah, Paul Rudd certainly in like the North American market is quite well known. And I think, yeah, I think he's definitely a good get for Nintendo. How do you think this compares to the work that, you know, you did for Switch 1 and sort of the reception to it? How do you feel like it compares to what they're doing now for Switch 2?
This is the question I fear, right? Again, it's all about different levers, right? So I think with the initial Switch launch, right, with the more lifestyle, family friendly, if you want to be a little critical, vanilla lifestyle approach, it's hard to get press. It's hard to get people to outside of like to the gaming community to talk about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you pull a celebrity in at the very beginning, press is going to talk about it. And I think that's pretty good. I also feel really positive about the timing of this launch. I mean, you know, when E3 was around, all of the years that we worked at Nintendo, like once it was basically like end of March, everybody started talking about E3, right?
Right.
Like almost this black hole of time that, you know, nothing, no launches until like people recovered in July and August.
Right.
And so I have a lot of high hopes that this timing is going to work in Nintendo's favor.
Mm.
So, you know, it's a combination of, you know, we're heading into summer, press is able to talk about it. You have a celebrity, you have a store opening, you know, there's so many more elements that are happening outside of that I saw with the Switch 1 launch, right?
Mm,
Switch 2 launch.
Yeah.
So I just see that it's a different strategy, different elements are getting pulled in. And I think in the end, they're still going to be successful as they were
with
the Switch.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I think it is a very interesting way to look at it, because when we were leaving Nintendo is when a lot of the entertainment stuff was just becoming real.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually left Nintendo very like late in that process of that office closing. I think you were till the end, right?
Yeah, flipped the lights off.
You flipped the lights off and turned the sign saying we're closed. that was when like we just started to see, you know, the theme parks were opening, the Mario movie was, you know, coming out. And so they were just entering into this new identity of Nintendo becoming more of like a full-fledged entertainment company versus just a video game company. And it's so interesting that you sort of picked up on that from the strategy around this advertisement as well, because it's like, yes, you know, you need to do a commercial for your upcoming big hardware launch, but it's not just about the upcoming big hardware launch. It's about the Nintendo brand. It's about like how you're now able to reach your audience in some different ways because you're more of an entertainment company than just a video game company. And it just speaks to this transition that Nintendo's been going through. And I think, you know, 10 years from now or even earlier than that, they're going to be a much different company than they are today. So
yeah, I think we're seeing the first signs of the changes, right?
Yeah.
Marketing wise, at least.
Yeah.
Again, the environment has changed. You can't do the same thing you did with the original Switch launch. It's really apparent. But also, it's like Reggie's gone, right? Mm-hmm. So you've had enough. There's been enough time at Nintendo with new leadership in place, to grow those trust relationships, as we just spoke about, right? And then to do something new. So it's like new environment, new leadership, trust is established. Let's try some new ways in. It all just sort of makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, this was an enlightening conversation. I tried my best to have a conversation with Kit about this on the podcast this week, and we fumbled our way through it. We're like, hey, they made an ad. Yeah. And we had no background into the inside sort of the insights into how something like this actually gets done at Nintendo. And there's so many different layers, and it just means so much more than what we see on the surface, which I think is absolutely fascinating. It's, yeah. You know, you and I are always kind of like watching and dissecting what it actually means, because the thing that you see as just the public just viewing a commercial with Paul Rudd is, oh, that was fun. But behind it is like the why, the strategy, the idea, how did it get approved? How did this happen? Like that piece of it, I think you and I are both really fascinated with. And so yeah. it's been really fun to have you here to share that with everybody, because I don't think they ever think about it in that way. So yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, I love it. I love trying to, again, as you, perfect word, dissect the what we don't know, we don't have visibility in on anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm so, like, don't you feel so confident? I'm like, yeah, that seems like it's just right. It seems like it's right on the nose, like why they're doing
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, forever you will know, even though you're not there. Is that scary, or weird, is that right? A liberating thought, or a imprisoning thought? I don't know. Forever you will know.
Maybe both simultaneously.
Maybe both simultaneously in a weird way. Yeah, it's interesting. Yes, we do. Once you're in Nintendo for so long, you do get like your brain that like changes, like your brain ridges. Yeah. Changes, and now you can't stop, you can't unthink the way that they think, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's true.
It's a weird thing that we all share. So it's nice to have friends like you where we can commiserate with and also celebrate with. It's a fun thing.
Same.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Monica, for being here with us.
Yeah, my pleasure, and best of luck to Kit. Hopefully he.
I know, right? All right. We are going to wrap this up and see you later.
My name is Arnold Bogarty, and prior to me enrolling in Rasmussen to become a nurse, I spent 16 years in the military, 12 in Special Forces as an Army Green Beret, and I was recommended to Rasmussen by a former student. She said she loved the culture. It was a family atmosphere. I went to visit the campus. The facilities were amazing. I knew before I left that that was the school that I was going to attend.
Rasmussen University. Are you ready to be your own hero online and on campus? Learn more at rasmussen.edu.
Ready to make the most of your summer? Enroll in summer classes at JJC. With sessions just 6 or 8 weeks long, you can earn credits quickly and still enjoy your summer. Whether you're starting your college journey, advancing your career, or transferring credits, JJC has something for everyone. Classes begin on May 19th, June 2nd, and June 30th. Visit jjc.edu/college to register today.